Welcome to Spiritual Warfare. My name is Teresa.
My name is Kay.
Today we're going to be reading from a book called Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table. It's Time to Win the Battle of Your Mind by Lou Giglio. He gave a little shout out to his friend. Be grateful for the storms in life. They reveal who your true friends are. To the friend who sent the text that has become the title of this book, thank you for allowing God to use you to change my life. We hope by reading Lou's book that it will help you in your walk. I want to start out with a little funny, though. I went to the grocery store last week, and I was walking down the aisle in the breakfast aisle. And here comes this little elderly lady on a motorized scooter. And she must have not had her hearing aid on that day. She's like, hey, really loud. And I turn around. I said, yes. She said, will you check up there on that top shelf and see if they have any blueberry cookies? And I said, sure. So I looked up there and I said, you're in luck. I said, there's two boxes. She said, great. It's for my bowel movements. That's the only way I can go to the bathroom. I'm telling you what. I stood there and I started laughing. I couldn't help but laugh. She was just cracking me up. And when I laughed, she said, well, it's true. And zoom, zoom, off she went. I tell you, I was walking around the store just laughing my butt off. That was just hilarious to me. So that was my little funny for the week. So anyway, Kay, could you read chapter one called 9 Words That Will Change Your Life?
I feel attacked, misrepresented, abandoned, wounded. Shelly and I were in the midst of a massive storm, one of the toughest seasons we've ever faced as leaders. Darts were flying at me from every direction. My heart was heavy, and conflicted. The moment we had decided years ago to plant a local church, a friend was chillingly clear in his assessment of the journey we were embarking on. It will be the hardest thing you've ever done. At that time, I brushed those words aside. We've done some pretty difficult things, I thought. But now his words echoed in my mind. He was right. Building a kingdom family called the local church out of a tribe of mostly strangers was exposing my optimism. I thought we'd never have struggles like every other church. And even at 50 years of age, I was facing challenges that were testing the limits of my experience. Now, the insider struggles were real, intense, personal. Bitterness and frustration worked overtime to get a foothold in my spirit. More than once, I wondered if it was worth it and wanted to pack it in and quit. One evening, a few months into my tumultuous stretch, I found myself at the top of our driveway, furiously working away on a text message to a friend I could trust. Earlier in the afternoon, I had found out about something that vindicated my case. I always believed in the saying, you don't have to tell your side of the story, time will. On this day, I felt like time was telling the world that I was right, and obviously I wasn't going to sit on good news. I wanted other people to know that I was right too. So I reached up to someone who stood with me in the struggle, someone who had taken a few shots on my behalf. Wow, what a text it was. A lengthy masterpiece of angst and vindication, a tone of which went something like this. You're not going to believe what just happened. I'm not saying I was right, but hey, it is what it is. Can you believe it? I mean, if you give things enough time, you'll see people's true colors, right? I mean, finally, blah, 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 blah. I pressed the send and waited. Literally, I just stared at the screen, looking for support to arrive. I wanted a reply that resounded with a hearty, "Hey, Louie, I've got your back. I knew you were right all along." I wanted a shoulder to cry on, a celebratory high five or first bump, not the emoji kind. I needed actual words in return, and lots of them. A moment passed, another. I waited. Let's pause for a moment. Let's focus the swing to your story. Have you ever sent a text like that? You don't need to be planning a church to be in a hard place. Everybody experiences tense circumstances where your mind is heavy and you feel like you're under attack. Times when you want to swing and fight back, or you want to give up, what do you do? How do you win the battle of your mind?
The text that changed everything. When you're in a hard stretch filled with conflict and confusion, if you could just get your thoughts in order, you could probably figure out a way to proceed. But keeping a clear head is more difficult than it sounds. Maybe you're on the wrong side of someone else's harmful actions or hurtful words. Maybe the conflict comes from within. You feel abandoned, falsely attacked, hurt, defeated, tempted, lost. Your mood is low. Your mind is stressed. You're weary from the endless conversations you're having inside your head with friends, coworkers, family members, accusers. Conversations where you're always vindicated and their faults are exposed. It's easy at those times for fear or despair to set in. You find yourself constantly looking over your shoulder, wondering if someone's out to get you. You struggle with your emotions. You snap in anger. You break down in tears. It's not uncommon to give in to those dark thoughts, especially when you're staring at the ceiling at 2 a.m, desperately trying to take control of the narrative and manage the outcome. You feel like your back is against the wall, and paranoia can become the unshakable companion. You keep your defenses high. And you seek allies. You look for someone, anyone who sees things your way. You gravitate towards anyone who will hear your side of the story and commiserate with you. That's the position I was in, standing outside of my house, fixated on that little circle spinning around on my phone, indicating a reply to my text was on the way. Remember, I needed my friend's reply to be commensurate with the effort that went into my message. I was anxious for something beefy and bold, lots of affirmation and solidarity, lots of words. And then it arrived. A one sentence reply, 9 words to be exact. In dismay, I blurted, "You've got to be kidding." But when I leaned in and focused on the message, those 9 words changed my life. The message read, "Don't give the enemy a seat at your table." I pushed aside my annoyance and I let the message sink in. Quickly, I saw that my friend had nailed it. I had allowed my adversary, the devil, to influence the conversation inside my mind. My struggle wasn't about fighting with people. People were involved, but the battle I was facing was against principalities and powers of darkness. Ephesians 6:12. My heavenly Father wasn't making me afraid or paranoid. My shepherd wasn't putting thoughts of despair in my mind. The harmful thoughts were coming from someone else. The enemy had taken a seat at my table, and I was allowing myself to listen to a killer. Right there in my driveway, I determined to take back my table. The devil would have to flee. In the days that followed, my mind was riveted on those 9 words. As negative thoughts would enter my mind, I would say to myself, "Don't give the enemy a seat. Don't entertain his ideas." These thoughts are not from a good and trustworthy shepherd. Move on. Soon after, I was led to study Psalm 23, a text that has comforted and steadied God's people through the ages as they have navigated troubled waters. Now, I was seeing it through fresh eyes, especially in the line that reads, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." I just want to stop there for a second, Kay, because I was in a mess this morning at work and things were flying at me. All of these thoughts were in my mind and I found myself getting angry, more angry. And when that happens, you don't want to talk to the person. You walk away and you're short with them. I literally sat down and God is like, "What are you going to do? Snap out of it." He is firing so many arrows at you right now. Are you going to give in to those thoughts? It's not the person that you are fighting. Like I said before, in your airspace all around you is Satan and his demons. And they are coming at you with everything that they have. It took me about 30 minutes, but at least I didn't do it all day. I guess, too, I was really grateful because God gave me personal time, just me and him, so nobody had to see me angry and acting like a little five-year-old. It was my choice, and I chose to act that way, and I'm so thankful that nobody saw me act that way. And I really praised God for that, to give me that chance. But that's what it is. That's what he does. I can give him a seat and say, "Okay, I agree with you." And just get mad. "Look what they're doing. Look what they're saying. Can you believe they did that?" Or you can say, "No, you don't win.
You don't get to sit. You don't get a seat
at my table. You don't get a seat at my table. And you don't win."
So just thinking about that with Lou, and I know that there's been times in my life that I have written something or maybe said something, and I let Satan have a seat at my table.
For a long time. Sometimes we give him that seat for a year, if for mad at a family member.
Right. And just praise God that he doesn't allow us to stay there. I know that sometimes redeeming yourself from words or actions or messages or letters that you have written can be difficult, right?
Yes.
He talks about our tongue, you know, and we do want someone else to come beside us and give us that high five and, mm-hmm. you know, confirm, you know, that what we're feeling is right. And that's when he talks about a true friend in his opening of his book. You know, a true friend won't do that. A true friend will speak truth to you.
The tongue is deadly. And it destroys. It's deadly. It can destroy. And we have to watch what we say because you can't take it back. That's the thing. If you've hurt somebody so bad with your words, you can apologize, but you've already done the damage and you have hurt them. As Christians, we need to forgive. Eventually, we really try to get over that. But it still hurts, and we should really think about our words and just think that, again, it is the enemy that you are fighting. He is using these people to take you down.
It's the powers and the principalities.
Yes.
You know, his word tells us that. His word confirms that. It's not against flesh and blood. Sometimes in the heat of the moment, we forget about that. We forget that it's not against the other person. We
right.
forget that it's not against flesh and blood.
I could see myself sitting at a table with the good shepherd across from me. He had led me through dark valleys to reach the table, and I didn't need to be afraid. Even though the fiery trials were all resolved, my place at the table didn't mean that my enemies would be removed from the equation. In fact, the table was set right in the middle of my enemies that captivated my imagination and held my attention. I didn't need to vindicate myself. I didn't need to clear my name. I didn't need to control this equation or work overtime to improve it. My task was to concentrate on the Good Shepherd, the one who owned the table. My invitation was to put my trust in the one who prompted me to lie down in green pastures, the one who led me beside quiet waters and restored my soul. The Good Shepherd was guiding me along the right paths of his namesake. Dark valleys and hard times were part of those paths. Yet he would be with me and see me through every threatening night. The Good Shepherd would anoint my life with his favor and my cup would overflow. My promise, goodness, mercy, and love would escort me every single day of my life. I love his anointing. I love his favor. God, when you have that on your life, no matter what happens, we are going to be tempted. We're going to have trials. But if we just say, this doesn't look good, but I'm going to trust you, God. I had to do that today in another situation. I've been having a challenging day, but I'm working through it. And I said, God, no matter what, you know me and you know my heart, and I am going to praise you no matter what. I'm not going to be mad if it doesn't turn out the way I want it to, even though I really want it that way. I said, but you really know me, God, and you know my heart is for you. And I trust you. And I know that something good will happen in your time. I said, but God, I'm really tired. I'm tired of fighting. I said, I need you to go before me today because I was crying on the way to my destination. And I just said, God, I can't anymore. I just can't. I'm giving this to you because I'm tired and I can't fight anymore. You said that you would go before us and smite our enemies when we're tired. And we can't do it anymore. And I can't. I'm just tired. And it's okay to be that way sometimes. Because he knows how you feel anyway. You can't hide it. And I just am tired. Now I'm just going to wait. Because I'm tired. Okay, I'm just tired.
The promise is that he gives us, Teresa, that he is the Good Shepherd. We do have the dark valleys, and we have the hard times, but he does tell us, as Lou tells us in his book here, he would be with me and see me through every threatening night. Behind the things that we don't understand, there is God Almighty. He tells us, as, you know, our understanding, his understanding is not our understanding. We've got to believe and we've got to trust that he knows. And he knows.
I know he knows. I've been through a lot. And he's taken me out of a lot. He truly has. That's why I know it's going to be okay. But sometimes you just keep doing it. And you're just constantly fighting and fighting because when you do something for the kingdom, Satan is relentless, literally relentless, and it never stops. But the thing is, don't give him a seat at your table. Don't think twice. What about the man who laughed at Satan and his demons at the foot of his bed when they were trying to get him all shaken up? And he just laughed and rolled over and went back to sleep. Because that's the power that we have in Christ. We have that power. Unless we give him a seat at the table and to entertain it his way instead of the power that we have to literally cut it off right then and there. That quick.
That quick. And the longer we entertain it in our mind, the more likely we're going to let him have a seat at our table.
And then struggle and have to fight through all of that. But there will be times when you're exhausted and you're tired and you can't talk. And you know what I did drive in today? I just said, help. That's all I could say. Because you're just so tired you can't even talk. And I just said, help. He knows. I remember once I was young, maybe 18, 19. I was driving down Park Avenue and I was in my boss's car. He sent me on an errand and it was a rented car. And I saw this big truck coming at me. And I knew we were going to be on a head-on collision. I didn't even have time to talk or pray. As soon as I saw that we were like literally head-on collision, help. That was the only word I got out. And God, we did wreck and we had a head-on collision. But he saved me and he protected me. And he knows you're calling out to him. I didn't have time to say, God, please help me. I just saw it and I said, help. And he's there. And for you people who can't talk, or you're angry, or you're sad, or you're hurt, and you've been going through something for years, just say, help. And he will.
Sometimes when we don't have the words to say, the moanings and the groaning, you know, the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit speaking for us. When all that we can say is help, and we personally don't have anything else to say, the Holy Spirit goes before us. And I have come to learn that in my prayer time, it's not about me doing all the talking. It's about me stopping and listening for him to speak back to me.
I know, you're right. And today, he told me to rest in his peace. And it was hard for me because I want to know now. Rest in my peace and trust me.
Trust me.
That's me in my microwave time. 1, 2, 3, ding, ding, ding. And I was looking forward to being with you tonight so I could just share this with you because I'm anxious and I shouldn't be anxious. Because I'm worried about the time, but his timing is always perfect. And I know this. And I'm not going to give the enemy a seat at the table. I just said, help, God. That's all I... You do it now. And he's taking care of it. I know he is. I truly know he is.
Giving him the control.
Absolutely. So, okay. We are going to wrap up here. And our next discussion will be on Momentum Gathers.
Look at the truth in Psalms 23 this week. We thank you for joining us.
God bless everyone.